Tommy, you might start us off with a prayer.
Sure. Almighty God, Holy Father, thank you for this day and for all your blessings as we gather and take care of the business of the church. Father, we pray that we will do so with the appropriate solemn attitude, trying to do the right thing. Help us also to care about one another in love, deferring when it's just a matter of opinion. Help us to always stand fast for the truth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Tommy, would you mind turning that knob all the way down? Because some of the... Because I can hear it in the speaker right here. So it'll help. Yeah, that helps.
I'm going to stay pretty close to the agenda. Before we begin, though, just a couple of things. In fact, Tommy mentioned one of our prayer. Of course, we want to all abide by the attitude of love when we're making these decisions. We don't want to be dogmatic about things that are matters of opinion. And you appreciate that thought. We all want to keep that in mind, of course. When we're making decisions, another couple of things I'd like to mention is just when we do these things, we need to make sure that we have the congregation as a whole in mind when we're making these decisions, especially when we're talking about matters of change. When you change something or when you do something new, there's always going to be people that are maybe impacted negatively and other people that are impacted positively. There are pros and cons to everything, and we certainly need to look at everything when we're making decisions, but focus on the group as a whole. And is it going to be beneficial for the group as a whole? Is it going to be detrimental? And kind of go from there. And then another thing is to do what's best for the congregation, not just what's easiest. Sometimes those are one and the same, but sometimes they're not. So just a few things to keep in mind. I'm going to get into the finances in just a second. Before I do, though, a couple quick things. I think, and Dennis mentioned this and wanted me to mention it, and I agree with him as well. I think it's important to delegate some of these responsibilities. Okay? We don't want to meet to determine what type of toilet paper we're going to buy, obviously. There are a lot of things that we can delegate. And so tonight, I think we're wanting to look at big picture. There are going to be a few specifics that we get into, but look more big picture on how we want to do things, and then figure out who we want to carry that out. And obviously, if you're the one carrying that out, you know, use your judgment there. If there's something you're not sure of, or there's something that you want to ask the group of men, and that's something that we can get together and discuss, you know, whatever that subject might be. But first of all, lobby duty assignments. Do we want to sign up or have someone assign those? We've done a little bit of both in the past. Does anybody object to just having someone assign those? That way we make sure it's even and everybody fills the...
Well, about that, how do we want to proceed? Do we want to continue with having an armed individual up front, or do we want to...
That's a good question. One thing that I've talked to several, not all everybody, but several have expressed you know, their opinion on it. Does anybody have a problem with only having one individual out there instead of two? Because what we've had in the past is one individual at the door, one individual in the room with the monitors, and the individual in the room with the monitors, especially during classes, is kind of completely cut off from everything. And again, personally, I don't think the monitors watching them every minute that we're here is necessary, but you may feel different. So do we need one or two? That's the first thing we need to determine.
Oh, we just have three out there.
Well, Brad made a habit of, regardless of who was out there, until the Lord's Supper was served, he was out there as well. So many times we did have three.
Oh.
But we only have two. We've always had two assigned to the... Yes, Justin.
What happened with the question about having women in here?
That's one of the things we do need to talk about.
Did you talk about?
No, I think okay. So.
About the monitoring thing.
Do y'all want to talk about that right now or leave that to the end? Or?
Are we talking about the monitoring?
What? I don't know. If we're going to make decisions that we might want to lean over and ask our wife a question or something, then it'd be helpful to do it earlier. It was brought up for three or four different reasons.
Right.
And I thought that we were going to look at it in the email, but then, like, nobody responded to the email at all. One or two people did.
Right.
So, we're going to get responses from this meeting as though we just ignore the question. And that's not good.
No, we weren't going to do that because I was going to bring it up if you didn't.
Well, no. I mean, they expected to have an answer before we all came in here.
Right, that's good. To bring that up, I guess, before we move on, I think we're all in agreement that the women should not have authority in these meetings. But does anybody have a problem with the women sitting in to these meetings in general?
Has anybody been in a congregation where they've done that?
Yes.
I've left the congregation.
I never have.
Well, again, the first thing we need to do is determine scripturality, and I think that Acts 15 gives us at least a guideline with regard to that, that the whole congregation was present. I don't know that there is any violation of any concept of male leadership in the congregation for a woman to be present. In that regard.
Can a woman ask a question in these gatherings?
Well, again, there are guidelines that we might would want to establish in that regard. I think that what I would be comfortable with is the women being present if they desire to be present. I don't know how much interest there is, but there is some interest as being present. One of the things to keep in mind, brethren, is that one of the problems that has gone on, and I'm seeing more and more of it in the after effects even than I was aware of, is that with a lack of transparency with regard to what's going on, there's a lot of frustration in that regard. And I think one of the most important things we can do to go forward as a congregation is be as transparent as possible with regard to what we can. And it may be that a certain circumstance comes up to where we need to make this kind of impossible. But generally, month to month, that wouldn't necessarily be the case. My suggestion would be to allow the women who want to be present to be present, just that they not speak. Because they're wanting... the ladies don't want to... that I'm aware of don't want to speak anyway, but just to be able to hear what's going on instead of hearing it secondhand. Now, the other thing is, if we're going to be recording them, as we talked about in the first meeting, and with the minutes and the recordings available on the internet, it's something that those who are motivated can hear. But at the same time, that immediacy is something that I don't see anything scripturally wrong with it. That's the question: is it scriptural or not? Yeah, but no, it's not commonly done. But a part of that is because of the society. it's not a matter of scripture, and that's the question: does it suit us as a congregation or not? Now, the tendency of in some places to where there is the involvement. We don't have elders; the women have a say as well, and I think that does violate some scriptural principles concerning male leadership in the church. But and that's the reason I'd say, can they ask a question? That I'm getting a little bit, where's the line drawn? I've been in congregational meetings, actually chaired a congregational meeting when we withdrew from Terry Green, to where women were so upset about what was going on that they left their place and did usurp authority in that, and they sinned as a result of it. And I wasn't, I think, old enough or seasoned enough to handle that. I don't want to put any man who's chairing a meeting in that kind of situation.
First of all, does anybody have an objection to the women sitting in? Not saying anything, but sitting in to the meetings.
Well, can we have a speak before we make anything like that?
The what?
About women coming in.
Well, that's what I'm asking. Do you...
Right. I mean, we talk about modern, next thing you drop that?
Yeah, I apologize for that. We decided to get the women question out of the way first.
So anyway, I've been in a few... what we call scripturally, with elders, you got scripturally organized with the elders and deacons and members, and you got the scripturally unorganized where you have the men that's organized, but scripturally unorganized, but it's not business meeting. That's what we call it. That's what I would call it. There have been many of those with men business meetings, and that's brought up from time to time, is never accepted. And we could say about the transparency, that has been a problem. But we could have transparency without having the women come in and sit. Because some men would be lucky to talk, bring things up, because of the women in there. And the biggest thing is the women find out how we as men operate,
That's the transparency I'm talking about, Dick. We need not to be concerned about that.
No, I'm talking about those faithfulness, you know.
Obviously, they wouldn't vote. They'd vote.
But anyway, I can't talk. I'll get it here. That was supposed to be being facetious about all the men look at the men. Well, that's a man, you know. But anyway, and things like, well, we're only, you've all heard that we're only one generation from things going wrong, you know. Right. So you have women, started women, and then next thing you know, how long it would take, or not often, those start being part of this. Now, part of that, having congregational meetings, like we do without the input, you know, once a month or once a quarter.
Right. Well, that's why we would need to set guidelines. Like we said, the women would not speak, they wouldn't ask questions, but they could be present to listen. Do you have a problem with that?
I do.
You do have
I thought I made it, thought I already said why. Well, you know, yeah. I mean.
So you have a problem with the women being present because of what it could lead to down the road, but not
well,
in
that's,
itself?
That's one thing, you know. That's the old... The guy in Giuliani and the broken window concept, they would nip it in the bud before it, so it doesn't get a hand. That's how we got that's how they got these fellowship halls that we start out with, you know.
But that, Nick, I don't think it's a fair comparison. I mean, they're not going to even speak.
But it takes a while. You're only one generation away.
We don't let it. I don't.
Sorry, go ahead.
My answer to that, Dick, would be pitch pipes have not always been around. Tuning forks may be a little bit longer than the pitch pipe, but we haven't brought in a piano yet.
Well, yeah.
So
I've heard that before, too.
Yeah,
that's it. Not really close to that.
So, what Dick's talking about is the slippery slope, right?
Right.
And so, it is one of several topics which should be studied, right? I could go fairly easily to a woman right now who thinks that she should be allowed to speak and tell her, regardless of whether that's scriptural or not, you should restrain yourself because of the conscience of others. And in theory, that should settle the matter of speaking.
Certainly.
But it might be fine to say it's something which we need to study first. People are aware, I don't think anyone is saying that this is wrong. I think they're saying it's not ideal, right?
Why?
It's not the most expedient thing because of the transparency and because of the immediacy of the knowledge, right? There are other things that are helpful. I would find it helpful for Bonnie to whisper in my ear something that I forgot about, right? That we had talked about earlier as a couple. We talked before about the reasons that elders and deacons are supposed to be married, right? It's for those kind of helps, things like that. But what we can't do is never answer the question, right? That's the thing I'm concerned
about. Well, the issue of expediency was mentioned, and I find expediency being meaning to help. I don't know. He mentioned the exact same thing that would make it expedient. While my wife would not be speaking in meeting, I personally am dumber than a box of rocks about half the time, and then half grade above that the other half. There are many things that I may miss or may not consider that would be very helpful if my wife were to be like, well, what about this in my ear? Well, let me think about that for just a second, and then I would be able to propose it to the men in that fashion. To me, that is the essence of expediency. So,
well, Dick, did you have a problem with recording them and letting the women listen to them?
No, we had the recording.
So yeah. I would ask, what's the difference between them listening live and listening later on?
Well, we ask her husband at home, you know. I don't know how that figures out, but anyway, that just come up in my mind. But I think it's wise, you know, in that you won't have the same atmosphere, and you're not going to have the openness, because not very many women would attend, unless we had it like a congregation thing, you know, every time in the auditorium. But we'd hear someone sit, you know, or sit with their husbands or whatever. And it's, you know, I don't know if it's ever been done. I know the place, but it worked all fine the way they've always done it. And there might be more congregation where you didn't have elders and business meetings, and women never had a problem that I know of, you know, and they always have the minutes to go or listen to the recording.
That's actually exactly what I expected to happen, because there was no objection in the email. I expected that, you know, Jason or Marley or somebody would be watching a bunch of little kids in the back, and everyone would just kind of stay sitting where they were, and we'd start talking. But it's like I said, it's something that may be good to study, because you can't say the women can't talk in here because it's a church meeting, because it's not a church meeting, because we didn't invite half the church. So we're saying it because of authority, right? We're not having the same discussion of worship versus the class. Why can the women speak in the class and not the worship? This is neither worship nor class.
Right.
But those are the examples people are giving. They're not thinking about it logically. And I guess it needs to be answered. It doesn't need to be answered now, but it might be a good thing to have to just say,
okay, so
add it to the list of right. things that we need to have studies on.
So for now, is everybody fine with keeping the recordings? We'll put them on the website like we did the first couple, and they can access that and listen to it, and table this discussion, study about this for later time?
Probably need to make a determination to study it. May not necessarily have to set
Well, that's fine, and that's something that I was actually going to bring up. And when we get to the classes,
along that line, we had the recording and Stan did the minutes, and that worked out real well.
Okay.
And of course, that was only 19 minutes.
Right. So back to the agenda. So the lobby duty assignments, and how many people we need in the lobby for lobby duty. Is it?
Before we go on,
okay.
Just something that you haven't done before, so you really need to get the consensus. In other words, does anyone oppose us tabling this and studying it in the future?
Tabling the discussion of women and studying that at a later date.
I think if we're going to table it, we need to make a determination that we are going to study or we are not. I mean, it needs to be. We need to come to some resolution to move forward.
I agree.
Yeah, leave it to me to study. Yeah, tell you what I think.
Man, you study it.
Why not outside the door there?
I would be willing to lead a study on it, certainly. But it'd be just something me getting together sometime in the next month or so.
Does anyone have an objection to us having a study?
No. I hope not.
Okay, so when do we want that study?
Let's have one for within the next month, so that before the next business meeting we can have a study and we can set it up. And it may not be, I mean, everyone who has any interest in that certainly come and to work to hash that out, but I'll have some material prepared and open it up for any discussion anybody has. We can do that if that's all right with everyone.
So within the next month, and we'll figure out that specific date here in the next week or so.
I'll send out a suggestion as far as dates.
Before we get too far along, and I just wanted to, and I should have contacted you to have added to the agenda, but I neglected to do so. But I think that we need to take a serious look at. I think that we have several men that are already qualified to be elders, possibly within our congregation, and I think we need to take a hard look at if that is true. Looking at that, at least researching that out and seeing what
at least have those men start to think about.
Yeah,
possibly.
I've spoken to one or two people already, and there's, I have about four in mind that I can think of right now. But I'll keep those names to myself for the time being. And but I think it's something we should look at, because I think if we have men that are capable and that are qualified, that we should, you know, seek to put that in, or seek to appoint elders if we do have some qualified. And I could be off base. Maybe they're not. Maybe they don't wish to be. Maybe they don't find themselves qualified. But I think we should at least look at that and approach them. So,
right. And that's something we should always be thinking about.
Oh, yeah, of know, course. So, but so I just wanted to bring it up and, too. You know, remind everyone that that's the way it should be done anyway, obviously. I have to completely know that, but...
Probably do this opens.
Yes.
Let's work through these and then add anything at the end if we can.
I think we should stay with two, but that's just my opinion.
Three minimum.
Oh,
yeah. No. Have we gone on something
yeah,
else?
Yeah, we got the lobby duty. Yeah, me.
Pardon
me. What are the
requirements? I mean, you have at least one person carrying.
Again, that's something to discuss. The doors are locked. Obviously, we don't all carry, and so I won't say paranoid, because that implies that y'all are paranoid if you think differently than me. I have no problem with the guy being out there without a gun, because he's one quick shot away, or one tap of the shoulder from Jim or somebody at the back if somebody does approach. You know, if he sees somebody driving up, he can go get Jim before that person even gets out of their car, or me, or anybody else. It's just, I know Jim's at the back.
I don't carry.
I don't even know. Right. Well, that's. I don't have a problem with somebody being back there that doesn't carry.
I see the main purpose of somebody being back there is to observe people and to greet guests who come in after service is started, be able to point them in the direction, answer questions they have, and, you know, like I said, monitor who comes in and out of the building.
So, just practically speaking, we need to answer whether we want someone watching the cameras.
Right.
Because that's the optional position. Because there's plenty of times that someone's been sitting at those cameras and missed somebody walk up to the door, and they're just like, they're at the glass. Please, please, sir, may I get in? So the person that's watching the actual door has to be there. So the question is, do we need someone watching the cameras?
Do the cameras record?
They do.
The reason someone's been watching them is just to see if someone's coming up to the back of the building, going to try to bust down the door.
And again, if they bust down the door, there are people at the front carrying that are going to be the first response anyway if they hear the door being busted.
And it's not just that, though. I mean, we've had people come into the parking lot and actually, like, case cars, check door handles. Not just one, not just two, but several occasions. I've witnessed it personally and run out there. And I know Josh has chased people off in the past. I think the only reason that I say two, I mean, it doesn't really matter to me. If you want to do one, that's fine, too. But it just has that overlap, that extra bit of eyes on it, because one person can't watch everything all the time.
Yeah,
but I agree, you can't hear class, but you can, for the most part, hear the sermon back there.
Somebody comes up, makes the count, fills out the books, walks around. It needs two.
So it might be.
We could have two people assigned, and if one person is sick or can't be there, minimum one person, two people assigned, that kind of deal. Or if one person isn't there, we don't have to grab a second person, but if both people are there, then it'll be that we could do something like that, too, where minimum one, two if available.
All right.
So I like that compromise.
I propose goes what Jim just said, and let's see about getting audio piped into that room.
Okay. So two people assigned each month. Did I find each month two people assigned? And
I was just going to say, if you have your phone, you can watch it on Facebook Live.
You're right, that's what I've been doing. I do that back there sometimes too.
Facebook Live for the sermon. So continue the current volunteer system, or are we going to make assignments?
Volunteers, so we want to get that list up, Dad.
Yeah.
The lobby dude, and we can sign up for that.
It's already been printed, and I just haven't put it up because I wasn't sure.
So that's something. Sign up for the lobby duty if you're willing.
Anybody.
The bulletin board.
I think we should open up to anybody here.
Yeah, anybody that's willing. Yeah,
define anybody.
Well, any man.
Yeah.
Any
man that's willing.
Good.
Yeah, we were talking about monitoring. I don't know if I missed that or not.
But we were talking about the cameras, the monitoring.
No, I don't, but anyway, I'll go ahead with it. Whether it's been already discussed. Now, how did we used to do? They always have somebody there to monitoring at all times.
We're not changing anything, did we? Yeah, they're being monitored, but we're doing the same thing.
They all be a monitor there. Okay.
Right.
Yeah. Because you're going to see the whole thing. Because our weakest point is the side door over there.
Right. Yeah, we're keeping
that's
it.
That's what I was trying to get to. Yeah. 5 minutes.
Next thing I've got on there is singing assignments. Again, Brad did that. So we need to delegate somebody to do that. Get the song leaders for each month.
We had an idea.
And, Jim volunteered, said he was fine with that. That way he can...
Good.
Keep the duty list and the song leaders and be able to see it all. And it's where there's not overlap there. Everybody okay with that?
I'm motion, yes.
Got somebody volunteering. That's okay. Always good.
I had two different women ask me why women weren't allowed to do lobby duty.
Well, can I stop a man?
Because, that's not talking about the scriptural.
I'll tell you why.
With the cameras, the women back there.
My main thing is if one of your main things as a lobby duty person is to greet the visitors and you're a woman, it just.
Look.
There's nothing wrong with a woman greeting a visitor, but if I'm walking into a strange congregation and the first person that's greeting me is a woman in the back by herself, it's. I don't know.
I agree. It's not the same.
It's odd, kind of.
Homeless people approach and things like that, it probably wouldn't be a good.
I don't want my wife out there. Although she might pull. Shoot some buddies.
She works at the hospital. She can't.
Yeah. Oh, she can. That's what I said. She might shoot.
Is that something we want to discuss now? Or?
I think that's sufficient. I'm very much about just having answers to questions.
Yeah, it would be something many of the men would be uncomfortable with. That's for sure.
Next on the list, organizing the teaching assignments for the classes. Again, we're going to get into the classes later, but as far as the person is just going to organize and ask, Dad has said he would do that, and that he's actually got this. Did you want me to mention this?
That's actually something that Robin supplied, which is just we'll bring it up at the end, but it's just a suggestion.
Is everybody fine with stand on that? Yes, Josh?
I'm fine with doing that. I think that what I would recommend would be to have a teacher's meeting.
We will be.
Right. And that's
by everybody that's interested.
That's right.
I know you've done this
before. If I'm delegating it, we are going. I'm going to get help.
Once we get the big picture of what we want the classes to look like, he would be the one that would kind of organize that and then have that teacher meeting.
Sure.
So, Dad did that.
This is assignments or assignments and talks?
No, just
like who teaches what class.
Right.
Yeah, who teaches what class, and we're going to have to discuss something about curriculum because that was something, again, that was done for us.
and that's going to be in a minute. Last Wednesday of the month, singing. That was mentioned as several that wanted to pick that up again. It's an opportunity to where everybody can lead songs on our fifth Sunday singing. There's only, the way we've done it, there's only been three song leaders, I think, three or four. The last Wednesday of the month, singing would allow just a singing service with the short invitation at the end. And it would allow everybody to lead a couple of songs, two or three songs. Opportunity to work on newer songs because it wouldn't just be a theme for specific songs that was mentioned. What are your thoughts on that?
I'd rather have it on last Sunday of the month instead of last Wednesday of the month. So that's the last day for the kids.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. A lot of the lesson books come with 13 Sunday lessons, 13 Wednesday lessons, and that was why it was originally moved to Sunday. When it was originally moved to Sunday, it wasn't talked about being a topical thing,
right.
And that it ended up becoming that. So we could do the same thing we've done on Wednesdays, just on Sunday evening instead.
See, if I have a problem with having that singing night on Sunday night, last Sunday night of the month, Gary?
The places I've been, we allow the members to ask for songs.
Right, that's something that we can implement.
We can do that here a while ago, too.
Okay, the one thing that I have in consideration, and this is something that... one of the reasons why I prefer the Wednesday. I recognize that's a big drawback, but the other thing would be if we wanted to schedule a time for men to preach, and we could make that last Sunday a night where the men can preach. Now,
that's what I had next.
Having said, yeah, but I knew it was tied together. Having said that, I want y'all to understand that I am certainly not averse to two Sunday nights a month being taken away from me in the pulpit. But at the same time, I don't want it to be perceived as that I'm doing less work and, you know, anything like that. In other words, if we wanted to have like the second Sunday night of a month, a man preach, if they desire to, sign up for that, and the fourth Sunday, the singing, and then I preach the other two Sunday nights, that would be fine with me. I don't have a problem with that. Because I do think it's important that we begin to develop the men who desire to preach, to give them an opportunity from the pulpit. And I can't see another way of doing that without having, which would be a good thing too, maybe some mini meetings and such where the men participate for that purpose. But at the very least, one Sunday a month to have a man fulfill the pulpit would be something I think would be very beneficial to the congregation and for the men.
What makes singing and men preaching exclusive?
Because the idea of the singing night to get more songs in, to give more people an opportunity to lead singing, which leaves less time for a full sermon.
Well, we certainly would want that talk at, you know, the 15-minute talk or 10-minute talk.
A man, but it would be more like a Wednesday night invitation than a Sunday evening sermon.
Right.
That's the difference there.
I don't have a problem with like taking a third Sunday for a, you know, substitute preacher on Sunday night, and give the preacher a break. If he's doing classes and everything else, why not?
I mean, it probably wouldn't be every month because I can't see.
He's already doing four lessons on Sunday mornings and two nights. So.
There's some men that have been waiting to get in that pulpit, so it may be a while before I wouldn't be.
Go ahead, Dave.
That was real good. The way they have been doing it on Wednesday night, have different men do the invitation. Now, that doesn't interfere with what you're talking about the last Sunday or last week, whatever.
And that's one thing that I failed to put on there that falls in that category. Does anybody object to continuing to have different men give the Wednesday night invitation?
If they want to. You just don't want to feel forced into it.
Right.
I can set up a deal to sign, and if you want, and with the dates, and if you want to do it, sign your name. If nobody signs up, I'll fill in.
Sure. I propose for the Sundays, the last Sunday night of the month, singing night. The second to last, that's either going to be the third or fourth Sunday night. Every once in a while it'll be a fourth Sunday night because of five Sundays being in a month. But the second to last Sunday night of the month, one of the men fills in to preach the evening sermon. And that's another thing that you can create a list for to sign up.
Again, if it's empty, then Stan
can go Sunday of the month.
Well, yeah.
Just to make it, if it's easier, you know.
I just look. There's four fifth Sundays this year. I don't know if that's true every year because I'm not up on my calendar.
Yes.
Okay. That's
sometimes they're fine.
But they're not saying
it doesn't matter.
They're saying every last.
Right. Every last Sunday singing night.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. Why not just keep it second and third and fourth Sunday, and then
work.
Fifth Sunday there's
that's
something or
that's fine.
I don't know options.
Normal. Just let. I mean, I think last Sunday's easier.
Second and last. We'll have lists. That'll be fine with me. I'll make lists. Okay. I love making lists. Right. I have no problem with making lists. We'll fill that board with lists.
All right. Thank you.
Second and last.
Second and last.
Sounds good.
And we will have a list for the invitations on Wednesday as well. Is that okay there, Will?
Mm-hmm. Josh?
Yes.
Another quick thing that Dennis asked me to bring up is that he's not modified the directory since the middle of December. And part of the reason was so that the addresses and things would still be there to contact Bob or Jerry or Brad or I'm sure Walton has a person, Jim, you know, et cetera. But he wanted to know when to remove those.
How about we get into that when we get to the last
to the
one
bottom.
About Brad and Jerry and kind of add that onto that because I think it goes along with it. So anything else as far as those quick things real quick that we just talked about, the delegation, the Wednesday nights, before we get into the finances? Okay, so the finances. The handouts I gave you. First, look at the one that is kind of pieced together. It looks like two halves of paper, because it is. Because that's the best way I could find to make it work. Looks like this. This one. Right, this is our finances overall from October of 2017 to the end of September of 2018. The reason for those dates is because the end of September is when I was taken off the treasury responsibility. So that is the latest that I have as far as the, you know, specifics of the finances. Okay. Which I guess before we get into the details of this, right, and as of right now, we don't know what the balance is in the checking account. We found out this week that Josh and Jim were both taken off the account, so that's something that we need to take care of quickly, as soon as possible. And so what I propose is that Josh, because he's the one that's had the success in contacting the Gallmans at all the last week or so, is that Josh gets with Brad, if possible, to have him meet you this week at Bank of Texas. And we talked, or we already decided that in the last meeting that me and Josh and Jim and Jerry would be the signers for the checks. That's something that we need to get set up pretty quickly. But as far as the logistics of getting the account changed over, if Josh can meet with Brad, is everybody okay with Brad basically giving everything to him for a week until me, Josh, Jerry, and Jim can get together to make the signers official? Is that okay with everybody?
If I'm able to be there, I'll
ask him.
Because we talked this morning.
And me too. But if he can only meet at a certain time and you can get there, then...
Well, Jim and I talked a little bit this morning about it, just, you know, spitwadding, and we talked about possibly reaching out to Brad and seeing if he would meet us there, and possibly not...
That's fine.
I think you might put him on the defensive or something. I don't... Just trying to make it go as smooth as possible.
And that's kind of what I'm getting.
It may be if it's Brad and Jerry. Jerry's retired, so Jerry may can meet with you to do the transfer if Brad's not able to because of work. True. But understand this. The checks were written for me, signed by a man who's no longer under the account.
Right.
And so we're fortunate that it went through, I mean, because of that. And we really can't even pay any bills right
I'm
now.
I'm about to have Jim or Josh sign a check to send for our electric bill tomorrow. And, if they check the signatures, I guess, because without their signature, there's no way for us to pay the bills right now because the online account is locked.
Something else we talked about this morning, just again, spitwadding, and we were talking about bringing it up tonight, was that we have the contribution from last Sunday as well as the contribution from this week. They're sitting locked up right now, and we talked about possibly as a stopgap opening a new account with those two deposits under the Westside name,
and
pay bills immediately.
Right, and that's certainly. I mean, if we can't, I say we have a deadline. If we can't get access to the account this week, I don't think we have a choice but to set up another account and at least start from there.
Right. Worst case scenario, if we could still write checks, we could write checks from this account into that.
You don't know what the balance is. The only problem. And I tried to get the balance this morning with my card, and it told me I was not an authorized user.
My proposal, Josh and/or Jim, try to get with Brad and get that switched over this week. If that doesn't happen, then we can meet, I guess, next Sunday to discuss opening up another account, or we can go ahead and decide tonight we want to open another account next week if we can't get into our account this week.
Open it anyway.
I just don't know what all goes into that with the, because we're considered a corporation by this as far as legally.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know how that works.
A non-profit.
We have all the numbers. But I don't know what the paperwork is.
I don't even know if we, I mean,
You're the treasurer, figure it out.
I'm just kidding. Well, let's go ahead and look at it. We don't have to wait on that.
Okay, yeah. All right.
I'm just saying, we can close this count later.
Yeah, if it takes a while, you know, whatever, at least we have operating capital and, you know.
Right. All right, so we will look into that this week by opening an account, see what it's going to take. Hopefully, we can get with Brad this week and we can get that taken care of, Brad and Jerry.
So Brad and Jerry, are they the only signers on the account at the moment?
Okay, so...
Yes. Yeah, they removed everybody.
Okay. As far as I know,
we don't have any access to the money.
So they'd only been signing the checks for the last 2 or 3 months?
Yeah, no. I don't know when they removed us is the problem.
Yeah, they don't know when. I don't know when they removed Josh and Jim.
I have been writing hot checks for a while.
Well, and I've been signing checks. And the other thing I don't know is because of depending on the way that we were categorized as, you know, like we're signers on the account, but that doesn't necessarily mean that
we're not primary. Well, that's why I wondered if there was
so we could make changes difference. Or access.
Because when I talked to that lady about signers, she said everybody has to be present. And I specifically said signers.
Right.
But she might have been thinking I was talking about a primary person on the account, but that's what she said.
Right.
So, okay, so that's where we're at with the account. Now to the expenses in that paper. Yes, Dave?
Does that mean that they still can access it?
Yes. Yes. Here at they have complete access right now.
And even when we make the deposit, like I did last week, I think make the deposit.
But we haven't. We haven't made it. We're not going to make a deposit until we have access.
Last
to it.
Week either. Good. Cause
right.
I misunderstood with Jim about that. But.
So to the expenses, these are the. Everything that we spent at the bottom, real quick, that transfer of $80,000. That's when we opened up a second account, which was more like a savings account, and that was the parking lot money, basically, that we moved over. So that's what that $80,000 is, just in case that's a big number that maybe would stand out to you. But as far as the specifics of what we did, the way the Quicken works, and I'm not a Quicken, I'm really not. Familiar with it much at all except for what I've done with it, and so the reports that I could find were all just these general things, building supplies, class materials, as far as getting into specifics and itemized items, that's the next page that I want you to look at. So here is overall what we spent. Our difference in income to expenses last year was about $12,000. Total income at the top, $145,600. To the bottom, total expenses, $133,561. So after we made all those changes and we stopped sending outside support to preachers, and we cut a few things, we were in the black. But of course, that was based on the contributions before we lost several members. This is the paper to look at now. This is more specifically the specifics that we're spending from the budget each month. So we have a $200 a month fee that goes to My Alarm company. It's a camera monitoring service. And this is categorized under the other page, and the bigger expenses is just building maintenance. We spend $44 a month on interface security systems. So that all goes with the security systems and the cameras. And I don't know specifically what services, like that $200 a month, I don't know what those services include. So that's something to certainly look into. The janitorial service is $425 a month. The insurance is a big expenditure per month, the $834. And these are the averages per month, the annuals on the right. Jim Smith, he is the one that does the lawn, and that averaged out last year to about $428 a month, $5,000 total. The office depot, that's mainly used where we buy our toner for the printer and the copier, and other office supplies, but the majority of that is toner that's bought each year. Classroom materials, materials for the classroom, the speakers, the wiring, the plumbing, the replacing the glass. There was a window that was, or a door glass pane that was broken during this time period, and so that's the glass replaced. We had that plumbing problem last year, and again, that's also all under building maintenance on that other page. We spend $485 a year, one-time fee on an exterminating. It's a yearly termite inspection that, you know, we don't think we've had termites for 50 years, but they keep coming out for $500 a year and checking it. The internet, $100 a month. The gas bill is about $100 a month. The energy bill, electric bill, is about $1,000. And then our Indian support, Indian preacher support, is $150. That's the one outside preaching support that we have, which is $150 a month. And that's done four times a year. So we send them, we send each Indian preacher $150 every 3 months. Is how that's divided up. And then the local preacher support. So those are our main itemized expenses. Annually it says $130,000, and on that other sheet it says $133,000. It's because I didn't get every specific. You know, there were other things that popped up here and there. The benevolence checks that we wrote from time to time weren't on there. There were a couple of expenditures on the building that I didn't put on there because they were one-time things. But these are the things that we spend money on pretty much every month, with the exception of like those speakers, the wiring, the plumbing. I put that on there because it was a pretty significant charge. So, with that said, before I move on to kind of my suggestions, is there anybody that has any questions that pop up about any of these things that you are seeing on this expense report?
Where's the phone bill?
The phone bill?
It comes with the Charter Communications.
Yeah, it comes with the Charter Communications, that $102. You're right, that is phone and internet as well.
So what all is it, just grounds maintenance, Jim Smith? Is that just mowing the lawn?
That's all it is.
Grounds maintenance,
That's one of the things we've been unhappy about.
Is it just the mowing, or is it the bushes?
Well, it includes he comes and he does and again, all this you can look at if you would like. The invoices, they're in a box and I can show them to you. But he mows the lawn. That's the regular thing, is mowing the lawn. But he also blows off the parking lot. He does the bushes. He would clean up from time to time around the, you know, those hedges on the property line, I think.
That's a back lot too.
Yeah, back lot too. Of course, he doesn't mow that every year,
right.
but that includes the back lot. So there's different, I mean, landscaping. Okay. It's not just mowing the lawn, but it is the maintenance on the grounds.
Does he come with just one calling, or his contract? Or?
He was under contract at one time. I don't know if he still is or not, if it was extended, or I don't know all the findings.
That's someone that
I
can call.
Find out.
Yeah.
Like in the file cabinet back there, it should be. Okay.
But as far as my suggestions, the first one, clean our own building. The janitorial service that goes to the Bauer family, that's $425 a month, $5,100 a year. He actually talked to Dad, or Dad talked to him and mentioned to him that we might possibly be stopping that service because of the expense, and he said, good with him. So that's something that we can start pretty much immediately. I would say we start next month. That gives us a few weeks to organize it. Dick gave me this thing right here that you can look at, but I think this is not this one, but just have a list of what needs cleaned. Obviously, we don't have to clean every square inch of the building each week, but there are some things that need to be done each week, maybe some things that need to be done twice a month. And that's also something that I don't know if I'm off base here or not, but I was thinking that we could delegate as far as the organizing of what needs to be cleaned and how to go about it to one of the women or the women folk.
My wife would die for that opportunity.
You would like that?
I really think that we should have a work day, and I know we've talked about it before, and it always kind of gets shot down. And I always, whether people know it or not, I always kind of push for it because it would have made my job easier
to
include other people in. And it wasn't that I couldn't, it was kind of hamstringed.
For inside the building or?
Everywhere.
Everywhere?
We did kind of have a work day.
Well, yeah, it was
super specific, like, we're going to do this exactly.
Well, and it was given 4 days' notice.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea to have a work day, because there's a lot of things that, like, I had a running list of things that I wanted to work on, but time just didn't allow me to work on everything that I would like to work on. Could
I make a suggestion that we would have for the for the, because we've got individuals who are interested in possibly doing the lawn themselves.
Right.
If we could have someone doing the lawn and people signing up to do the janitorial, and maybe it's a different person each month with sign up sheet, and then quarterly, just regularly schedule quarterly work days to where everybody who can, four times a year, that's right?
Yeah.
Quarter. I was thinking 4 months or 3 months. Anyway, quarterly have, at least we have those work days. And then everybody knows about them in advance. Let Josh, if he wants to, kind of have an agenda for it and organize it.
I will.
Yeah, I mean,
by the way, now that
you know what's needed.
Is everybody fine with Josh continuing his responsibilities as the building maintenance guy?
Oh, yeah.
But with the provision. With the provision, you get as much help as you need any time.
Absolutely.
I know for a fact that several of the women have been asking to clean this building for
so,
and I know for a long time they were cleaning it after the Wednesday class.
They weren't satisfied with it.
Yeah, they were cleaning. So they were doing some cleaning after the Wednesday morning class.
Well, since Mr. Bowers died, they've only been doing the minimum. But Mr. Bowers was healthy. He was buffing these things three or four times a year, and he really worked hard, him and his wife. But
Is everybody okay with scheduling quarterly work days?
Yeah.
Okay. Is everybody okay, since Josh said his wife is more than happy to do it, with her, what she would be doing is getting together, okay, what needs cleaned each month, kind of a itinerary for cleaning, and then organizing who's going to be doing that each month.
She's willing to do it.
I have a problem with that. And it can be, obviously, one person cleaning could be kind of
Let's
a
be
burden.
Honest. So, that the whole of that might be a little too much for her plate.
Yeah.
But if
when you got excited, what specifically would she want to do?
She's great at finding things that need to be done. Just time is an issue always.
Would she be able to?
She and I could team
itinerary between now and February.
Say again.
An itinerary, kind of like what we're talking about here. Obviously, that's a difficult.
Come up with a checklist, and then people can
check
up.
Yeah, that's what they want to do. She's already mentioned a checklist. Come up with.
So everybody fine with Amanda getting the checklist of what to do. She can ask Josh, and y'all
wants
can
to do that,
collaborate.
I can add to it, or it don't matter how you want to do it. Y'all want to print it out.
And then have a sign up sheet. And then have a sign up sheet for cleaning the building. We want to put two spots on that sign up sheet. Just
on a lawnmower.
If we can get to sign up, that way we'll help each other out.
We're talking about a weekly cleaning, right?
Well, the sign up sheet would be a month, but there would be things that need to be done each week.
Oh.
Does that make sense?
She would easily break that out.
So you don't look for somebody to volunteer for a whole month at a time?
Usually it's like, I would think the things we're putting on there are things that...
And that's why I said so that you could possibly, get somebody you're working together with, either taking turns or you come up here together and it takes half the time.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought that list I gave you, I thought it was a real good example and checklist, but it's from North Beach, and their facility is about the same size as we are, and the classrooms, wouldn't you say, Tommy?
Close.
So it's a real good guideline. Worked out well there. I don't know how that is now, of course, it's been a number of years.
I'd be willing to contact Mr. Bowers and say his service is no longer needed. We need to contact Jim Smith, make sure he doesn't come out.
Right. I can contact Jim. I think I've got his number in one of the invoices. And as far as the cutting our own grass, that's another thing we'll have a sign-up sheet for, and we can coordinate with Josh on that. It's not really something we need to worry about a whole lot for another month or two, at least.
There is some weed eating that needs to be done right now.
Well, in fact, I'm planning on this week coming up and taking care of that little part. I was going to do it. Nobody else was planning on doing it, were you? Because I don't want to come up here and be done.
I was planning on asking you to.
Yeah. So I can take care of that this week.
I was just going to say, the only thing I would suggest would be that before anybody, it's good to be zealous and, want to help out and everything, but, before we do anything major,
repainting the lobby or
things
we need to bring that up for the men.
And not just, we're just talking about general maintenance here, not changing anything.
But sometimes people, and I'm not saying anybody would or mean to do anything like that, but sometimes people get it in their heads to like, oh, the lobby needs to be painted. I'm just saying that as an example. I don't know that, but
So
major changes that cost money need to be brought up.
And they think purple would be a wonderful idea.
Exactly.
Can we get TCU discount tickets?
Yeah, I appreciate folks wanting to do the lawn. We did it on a volunteer basis in the 90s at Woodmont. It's tough to keep that list going.
Yeah, it is.
Well, and as I mentioned, in the last 15 years, we had, and I don't know who they were, there was like off-duty firemen who did it on the side, and they did it for less than 2,000 a year.
And it's something we'll have to figure out how to make it work. And if it doesn't work, then we can possibly look into that.
Just to keep it in.
Certainly. The other thing to remember too, the main thing is the front, maybe this side over here, just the strip on the side. You know, there's that curve that runs along the back. That doesn't need to be done every week. In the summers, maybe twice a month. Maybe three times a month if we get rain. It's not water. So Dad's also said he doesn't mind just because there's a riding lawnmower we've got.
I'm just riding lawnmower.
Yeah. Trimming the hedges. As long as we just keep that front and the hedges trimmed, that's the main thing.
I understand. Yeah.
And that is so super simple.
And so we'll... It can be, bro, which is why we all need to if we're able and we're able to pitch in.
So I was here.
And here at Westside, we've always done that and been willing to do it. And there have been, it wasn't always done to...
Joe Staley did it himself for years.
Yeah. Yeah, and others as well, but it was being done. One guy...
It didn't cost money, so...
between the parking lot and the road?
We do, but that's another one that doesn't get water, and so it doesn't need near as much. It's not something that needs to be done every week.
There's a couple patches that grow out there, but...
I'll tell you what, how about this table that? I'll come up with some ideas for the next meeting to organize everything. And
as far as checklist for the lawn, that's fine. Checklist for the lawn.
Maintenance and outdoor stuff.
So something you know about, there are laws about businesses, which technically this is, about what they have to have in front. So I don't think you can remove every bush.
Oh, no, I wasn't.
Obviously, it's a law that you have to keep at least a few.
Yeah, we put something else there.
One suggestion I have as far as the finances, to come to a consensus on, as far as, because we're wanting to see where we can cut costs, and again, not knowing exactly where our balance is, but I suggest that we have no more cosmetic expenditures and we only spend on necessities. Is everybody okay with that? Does anybody have a problem with no cosmetic expenditures?
We're all pretty up for now, so
I was about to say, I don't know what else we do. There's been several things that have been done as far as that goes. Again, if it doesn't contribute to the worship, if it doesn't need... is it a necessity, a repair, something like that, then I say we put it off.
And I know Stan mentioned too, cutting back on some of the watering, save some money.
Did you see the broken?
Cutting back on
there's another broken.
Some of the electrical spring. Not running on
when it goes off. It's laying on its side.
Not running the AC.
Right there at the cars.
Those are some cutbacks we can make too.
Certainly.
Now talking about that broken glass.
No, just a broken broken sprinkler.
Yeah, keep it set.
We're watering in the wintertime?
We're only halfway
through. Yeah, we're going to have to do that. That's the most important reason. That's time consuming.
Almost done with the finances.
You need the time scope You need to time scope the one you just said. Like everyone agree with that for the next 6 months.
For the
year.
Which
cosmetic necessity.
Okay. We just want to say for the following year.
Yeah.
For the cosmetic.
We're just
if something comes up.
Something comes up, we can always talk about it.
Well, maybe the third category, right? Like efficiencies and upgrades and things like that.
Right.
Not necessities nor cosmetic.
As far as long-term financial considerations, I don't want to open a can of worms, and I don't think this is the meeting to discuss it, but I do want you to just consider
the possibility of a move. And I say that because our financial situation, our building is a huge expense. We can cut a lot of those expenses, as we've talked about, but it'll be a 60-year-old building next month. The electric bill itself, I mean, we're spending $1,000 a month on electricity. Fewer members now, so our contribution is going to be a little bit less than what it has been. And again, we want to think not just short-term, but long-term, and just our ability to further the work of the kingdom. You know, we've already cut all of our outside support except for those Indian preachers, and so we're limited already some in what we can do. Yes, we can be self-sufficient. We can continue for a long time the way we are, but there are some limitations with that. The reason I bring that up is because it's not a decision that can be made overnight. That's why I just wanted to just think about it. I'm not saying I don't even know if it's something that we would be able to do, but it's also not a decision that we can make for or against without looking into it. I mean, who knows if we could find land? Who knows how much that land would cost? Who knows how much we could get for this property? I mean, those are all things that we would have to just get more information on before we even consider whether we wanted to or not. Obviously, that's something that we would want to talk to our wives and the women in the congregation about. It's not, you know, so many variables. I just wanted to say, think about it. Because again, many of our expenses come from this old building. The insurance itself is $840 a month, and that's something that would be much cheaper too with a smaller, newer building that would fit us better. But I just wanted to throw that out there again, not to discuss all kinds of things tonight, but just to say thank
you. Property, you could sell the back half, knock the sucker down, and build a new one. For,
That's what I'm looking into right now.
See, would that be? You're right.
That was more efficient. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying.
Absolutely.
Like all options.
And again, just think about it. Justin?
You said?
I said you could sell half the property, knock this sucker down, build a smaller building that was more efficient.
They require four acres for a church building nowadays.
Yeah.
That's why it's so large.
But we already own this property. It's not like we have an existing structure.
I don't like that.
I'm not a city engineer, so...
Yeah, bringing up insurance, I assume that the insurance is in the name of the corporation.
Right.
So we're talking about transferring the bank account, but we also have to transfer the corporation.
Right.
And whenever we get that done, someone needs to look into what insurance we have. Because none of us know what we're actually insured for.
It's the property, property and its workman's comp.
Yeah, and our building title and land title is in Brad and Jerry's name.
Right.
Also.
So yeah, that's something we would need to transfer as well. It's just we're thinking.
But you need different levels of insurance. Right.
Certainly.
Maybe a reduction we could do by just
Jerry. Sorry to interrupt. With the insurance, I know that Jerry has been pretty proactive the last several years to find the cheapest possible.
Yeah, he's been doing a good job with that.
Because he worked in insurance, and that was kind of he in charge of it. And over the last decade, we did have several claims. And so he's constantly trying to figure out the cheapest. So, I mean, we still could possibly find some cheaper options. But
it's definitely something he stayed on top of, though.
Yeah. Okay.
But Brad and Jerry don't cooperate with getting Jim there. We've got a big problem.
Right.
And they don't have to do that, I guess. I don't know. I'll have to go to court.
Hopefully it doesn't get to that point. The only other thing as far as the expenses, it kind of goes along with it. One of the reasons we haven't had gospel meetings is because of the expense of it. I think that we have plenty of means to do that, especially if we cut that approximately $10,000 a year from the ground maintenance and the janitorial services. Do we want to commit to gospel meetings? That's a question that needs to be answered. And when I say commit, I suggest what we've done in the past of a fall meeting and a spring meeting. Jim?
I'm definitely all for meetings, but I think we need to at least wait until we get the financials settled.
Agreed.
Before we
I would hate to send a preacher a check that bounced or.
Well,
hopefully that's going to be done in next week.
Yeah, our next meeting wouldn't be until May. And actually, as far as that's concerned.
Yeah, I've got some. First, let's see if we've got the money for it, and the money hasn't been stolen away or whatever, then we want to commit to meetings because I think that's an important part of our work as a congregation. We don't know.
We don't know.
If nothing has been removed,
right.
Then we have about $85,000 between, you know, give or take a few thousand. Okay. Because the concrete work that was in addition to the parking lot was about $8,000. And that includes that stone walling in front of the flower beds. So that was $8,000. There's a check stub to Lone Star Electric that wasn't filled out. In other words, you wrote the check but then wrote Lone Star on the side but didn't put the amount on the side. So that might be a decent expense. I think that might have had to do with the speakers. We had right around $100,000 when I stopped doing this, and then you take away the, you know, $8,000 plus 3-4 more, and maybe some slippage because of lack of contribution. I don't, you know, I'm guessing 85.
Well, my other question is, I look at this other page and it says gospel meeting preachers for $400. Is that what gospel?
Right. Well, no, that $400 was the fall meeting that we had in the fall of 17, where me and Armando and Brantley.
What do we normally pay?
Normally we pay $1,400, and that's divide that by eight or nine lessons. I think it's nine lessons.
Yeah.
Whatever that is per lesson, but $1,400 plus the mileage is what we pay. And then in addition to that, you've got the hotel expense. But with dad and mom and dad's situation, with their upstairs not inhabited and in good shape, that's, you know, a place where the preacher can stay. And then we would pay for a plane ticket if it's somebody that's flying in, that's separate from mileage, right?
Yeah, it would be instead of mileage.
Yeah, instead of mileage, we would pay for the plane ticket.
It was pre-meeting scheduled.
No, that's what I needed to tell you about. We had a tentative setup with Michael Baker. And when I called him, he didn't realize that because Brad actually hadn't asked him. Brad had told me that it led me to believe that he had asked, or I was led to believe that he had been asked, but nothing had come in. Well, I talked to Michael about it. Initially, he was interested, but he talked with the preacher he's working with. He's in working two-preacher arrangement, kind of in a training situation. And basically, Jerry Fite, who he's working with, said, you might want to wait a little while before you do that. In other words, he really didn't feel like he was sufficiently prepared. And Michael has kind of come to the conclusion that maybe I need to work on my delivery and material before I do that. So he's begged off. I think he's a good quality young man, and I think he'll hold us a good meeting. But we may want to wait a year or two to do that. So right now, we have absolutely no one scheduled and not even asked anyone. And I've got some ideas, certainly, and be more willing to share those with you, but
so if our finances allow, which hopefully we'll be able to know after this week, do we want to commit to those two meetings a year?
Sure,
for now.
Yeah, I have one question.
Okay.
It's good that we're concerned about the expenses and financial issues. Spreading the gospel is our number one thing.
Exactly,
and we really shouldn't. We have some. We guess we should not. We should be this. Would be the last thing we
can. Amen.
So I just to let you know.
Well, and that's one of the main reasons that I mentioned the whole building and moving, because that's one of the things that, you know, we can operate how we are for a long time, but our ability to go out and do that is you know, greatly prohibited just because of the expenses of being in this location. Which is why I just, you know, just think about that. So, yes, commit to gospel meetings if the finances allow. Hopefully, we'll get that completely ironed out after this week. So, be thinking about men. That's something that we can push off to another meeting as far as who we're going to have. Be thinking about names and individuals to bring in, and that's something that we can decide at a later date. Is everybody okay with that?
If you have a man you want to consider, please have the contact information for that man, please, if you can, in any way.
Any questions, concerns, immediate concerns, or questions about the finances before we move on?
Okay, so the next thing that I have are the classes. So the new quarter for the classes start in February. And just real quickly, what we've done in the past is not had quarters on the adult classes, not worried about them. But we've had the quarterly schedule with the kids classes. I've got my suggestion, what my suggestion was going to be for at least just the Wednesday adult class is to have quarters, because my thinking in that is if we have quarters, it's easier to make sure there's a turnover in teachers, because we want to have more teachers and more participation there. It's something that we can make sure we have, don't get bogged down on a particular book. And this is all stuff that we need to decide as far as what we're going to look at. But you can have more of a turnover there. We're going to study this topic for this quarter, and then the next quarter we're going to move on, and you can have that lined up. And it might perhaps make that easier to do with quarters instead of just spending an indefinite amount of time. And even if we don't use quarters, we could have two quarters for one topic. I mean, we can be flexible with it, but I'm saying not, for at least Wednesday, not to just say we're going to, study the book of Acts and we'll get through it when we get through it, and not have an end time and have one teacher for that whole class. But that'll come up with some of these things. The first thing, I broke it up into the different classes. So the Sunday adult class, right now we are on the Epistles of Paul with Dad teaching. Does anybody have a problem with finishing that up? Because we've got two left. We've got
Titus, 2 Timothy.
Titus and 2 Timothy, which are relatively short books as well. Does anybody have a problem with finishing that study with Dad teaching on Sunday morning? Okay, so we will do that. Nice. Following that, do we want to be continuing with the textual studies? One thing we've done in the past that we stopped doing recently, we had textual studies on Sunday mornings, and we had topical studies on Sunday or Wednesday nights. And again, one of the reasons for that, a benefit of that, is so you can the textual studies without the quarterly schedule. You can spend more time, if you would like, in the text and then on different topics that pop up throughout the text. And you don't have to worry about a quarterly schedule. And then with the topical on Wednesday, you can be more flexible. I just talked about more teachers, more topics, more turnover. So do we want to continue with those textual studies on Sunday morning?
Yes.
Josh does. Anybody else?
I do.
Everybody fine with that? Okay. So we'll continue to do that. And then again, be thinking about what topic, what we want to study next.
So we're moving the start of the quarters to February?
That's where they normally are. And because you've corrected me, I think in the original email I said January.
I think you said March.
February. It's actually March.
Okay. Yeah, sorry about that.
So the quarter I made that change in the email. At the end of November.
Okay, so the next quarter will start in March. It ends in February. The next quarter starts in March. Sorry for that mistake.
So it gives us a little bit of time.
Yeah, it does give us a little bit of time. Sunday morning class, we're going to continue the textual studies, be thinking about what we want to study next. The Wednesday adult class, do we want to finish Acts and Matthew? And if so, when do we want to finish it? So perhaps by the end of February, that would be, we got how many chapters? Which Tommy said he could finish next week if we needed to.
We're on chapter 20.
Okay.
What was that, 28 chapters?
Yeah.
Right. And
we're not.
Yeah.
We're on 16.
16? Okay. So
we'll just go through the class.
Hey, got some interesting study about that time. Get there in time for the 24th chapter of Matthew. We might be in there for a month.
So do we want to continue to finish those two studies?
I don't see the benefit in cutting them off.
Yeah.
Lorenzo?
Yeah.
You do?
I do.
Okay. And I agree with that. I think we should set a period of time, though. Do we want to
try to finish them by the end of the quarter? Or at least the one?
I think Stan just said he can't do that.
Well, I can do it. We just won't be doing what we're doing now. There's no way to finish using the same. But I can speed it up. I mean, we'll just be. I don't know how much I can do to speed them up faster, but I mean, in other words, I can.
Well, and again, we can be flexible. Let's shoot for the end of February. It's speed it up a little bit, and we can see where we're at in Matthew. I'm in the Acts class. We'll see where we're at in Matthew. I said, obviously, you know, we'll be done with Acts, and perhaps we can, you know, all meet together, which is another thing to talk about.
Well, I think it'd be beneficial if we're going to have other men teaching some, then I can definitely bring that to a close. We won't cover every bit of Matthew, but we will have the major topics from there to the end that I can set up.
So we'll finish Acts and Matthew by the end of February. And so for the next part of the Wednesday adult class, do we want to join the classes again or keep them separate? I feel like joining together simply because of a numbers thing, like the last couple Wednesday nights, I don't know how many y'all had last Wednesday night. We had four the Wednesday night before that. Does anybody object to joining the classes back together again on Wednesday?
Okay. Be honest, I think that we can still meet in a side room. Now, one of the reasons why people wanted to meet in the side room is more discussion, easier to hear. If that is a concern, then I think that we can probably meet everyone in this room. If not, we can do like we do on Sunday and keep it compacted in the back if necessary.
I don't mind joining together, but I would like to have the option at some point if we want to break them up again, because there are certain topical studies that would be better suited for some than others. Like, I know there's a situation right now where a young man is interested in learning how we believe what we believe. Well, a good first principles class would be good for that, and that's what he's looking for. So if we have a situation like that, I don't want to ignore it.
Right. Certainly. And of course, you know, we can always, you know, discuss changes as the different needs arise.
I said we've done that before, back and forth.
Right. Yeah, none of this is set in stone forever. It's just kind of where we want to go from where we're at right now. Do we want to have the topical studies on Wednesday nights again instead of the textual? Of course, it's all coming from the text, which y'all know. Did anybody not understand what I mean when we say topical?
Didn't we discuss that a second ago?
Did we decide on it?
Yeah, I thought we did. Textual Sunday, topical Wednesday.
Right. Did we agree to that? I'm just checking. Okay. I jumped ahead and then it showed up again. So we are... So begin thinking again about what we want to get to a big framework, and then we can look at some specifics there. Begin thinking about topics that we want for the next quarter. One that came to my mind was, I think personal work would be a good topic at some point. The thing I was going to suggest about Justin as well, he mentioned, you know, there are several things that we possibly need to study as a group, of how we're going to, you know, the things we're going to do, and you know, the women question, which, you know, I'm not saying that's necessarily the best place for that or not, but we could use a quarter to discuss, you know, spend a couple of classes, you know, there's 12 classes per quarter,
13
on Wednesday, 13, so we could, you know, get 30, like six topics and spend two Wednesdays on each topic, things that we feel like as a congregation specifically we need to discuss and we need to talk about and study about. That could be something that we could look at, but just be thinking about what we want to study on those topical, you know, quarters on Wednesday nights. Yes, Josh?
I don't think it's a bad thing to study the women topic in a Bible class setting, because that way we get the input from the women that necessarily might not be able to... I think it should be led by probably Stan. It didn't have to be.
My mom might disagree with
you. Well, hey, never mind.
No, she won't.
Jeff Smith opened and had a viewer thing, and his wife said something. He put up a picture of a can of worms.
we certainly could. Anyway. I mean, I think we decided that we are going to talk about that before that next quarter comes up. But
I think, and I'll say it again, I've said it to several men here, I don't know if Justin heard it said by me or came up with it independently, but I think we do need to, while it is fresh on our minds, to reinforce and make sure that we have unity in the broader issues that we faced with the last several months. namely what a faction is, the role of elders, and things of that nature.
Certainly, and what Josh brought up earlier as far as men being qualified, you know, of course, we just study the qualifications and Timothy, but perhaps a broader, you know, short study of that since we spent some time on it. Certainly. Next question, do we want to purchase class books? That's our, another option. And again, I'm thinking about Wednesday adult classes as far as, you know, the topics that we have. Again, if we were to do a series of things that are, you know, scattered like, you know, six different topics, we wouldn't purchase books for that. But the benefit, again, the reason to possibly do this, facilitate discussion. When you've got the books with the questions, obviously it's up to people to answer the questions and to have their lessons prepared. But it can be easier for a novice teacher to facilitate a discussion with discussion questions built in a book, you know, something like that. It also allows for an easier, you know, somebody filling in to pick up where the other person left off. It allows us to, in a way, you know, one of the things that we could do, want to get more teachers in there, one person doesn't have to teach the entire quarter. You can, you know, have a textbook with the 13 lessons and have one person teach the first couple of lessons and rotate. And so it makes something like that a little easier. Obviously, it's something that we don't have to do every single time, but it's something that, that I thought would be worth mentioning.
I think if you want to change the teacher, books would make it easier.
Talking for the adult class right now, right?
Yeah,
I'm just on adult
class. Stan's been teaching for a long time, but got people, somebody who hasn't teaching, I think a book makes it easier for them.
That's
it,
what keeps, I'm thinking,
gives them a guideline.
Okay, and part of that goes with the finances too. I think that's one of the reasons we haven't purchased books in a long time is because of the finances. But again, you know, that $10,000 that we'll have now outside of the, you know, the janitorial services and the lawn mowing, that pays for 4 gospel meetings. And so some of that can be used for class materials, you know, to be bought and books as a part of that. And again, we're not deciding what book tonight, but just so we're okay with purchasing books for classes and the adult classes from time to time, depending on what topic we decide to have. Okay. And then we kind of, this has been implied already, but I think we're all in agreement that we want different teachers each quarter. Everybody in agreement with that?
Adult classes.
For the adult classes. Yeah, this is the last one, the adult classes. In agreement that we want different teachers each quarter.
Unless we decide to have 6.5.
Right. Yeah, and you're right.
We want teacher rotations.
Yes. Teacher rotations.
Okay. The teacher rotations.
Okay, so now for the kids' classes, children's Bible classes.
Revelation all the time.
So what is presently being taught in that? Because I know I was asked to keep teaching in December, but I wasn't given anything to teach. So I've been teaching. I had stuff. Yes. I was doing that. I also asked the kids what they wanted to look at, but I don't know what's happening in the younger classes.
Well, in the younger classes, of course, our younger kids are very young, so it's very much basics and, you know, who's God and who's God's son and learning the books of the Bible. And, you know, they do focus on main characters, Noah's Ark and things like that. But as far as going through the book of Genesis or going through, you know,
like Riley going through
that. But Riley's the one that's the...
I think Debbie's trying to follow what she was in before. She said there was some class material left that she's trying to finish up.
But that's something, again, where do we want to start? Do we want to use books for it? Because we haven't had books for the kids' classes consistently. There have been some books purchased, especially for the older kids. But as far as the younger kids, and again, the reason for that, it's easier to have more teachers, more turnover, more, easier to fill in when somebody's gone, you know, those types of benefits. As a parent, I very much would like, you know, my kid's still a little young, but she's getting to the point where if she had a lesson and, you know, being able to go over that with her, and start that preparation for classes. That's, you know, so those are the types of benefits
For the
yes,
just a couple things. Not to get you.
It's supposed to know your kids.
Yeah, I know. Well, like 50% of the kids in class are mine. No. I had a comment from a teacher during this whole thing that was going on, and it was regarding the class material that was being used, pushed, I guess. I don't know. I don't have the name of it right now, but they had like some serious reservations about where the material is coming from and the specifics of it. I don't know and haven't had a chance to really look up and study a whole lot, but I just wanted to put that out there for that person because they don't have a voice in here as of right now. Obviously,
and that's something that we'll need to.
So I think we should take a hard look at whatever curriculum we do have. And I don't know if it's something we do have currently or if it's something that was being planned on.
And see, I don't push for it.
Do we need people to bring options here? Or
that's
do we
what
need
I was
saying. He's going to kind of do that, I think, when he's...
Well, Stan was talking about figuring out assignments, not figuring out...
Yeah, he was also going to look at curriculum, I
think. Well, I mean, it's all part of it, but I think right. We're all going to... Curriculum direction. Sure.
I would be willing to volunteer to look at do some research, look at some curriculum that's available that can be purchased, because we don't have many kids, so it's not going to be a major purchase.
Right.
And perhaps purchase a sample of two or three different curriculums with a teacher's book and the first lesson, and just let some of the teachers look at that, have a teacher's meeting, get some clarification as to what's preferred, and then bring that to them in.
Yeah. One option for the older kids, too, that I can share with y'all, and I'll just give I give it to y'all. So the Johnsons developed that curriculum when they were Woodmont. It's not set up. It's not for the younger kids, but for the middle school, that's a possibility.
Patsy right now is writing a first through sixth grade curriculum,
and that's something
she's about done with it. She wanted to be done by the end of January,
and that's an option that we can certainly look at.
I was just going to say, as to bringing in outside material, I mean, clearly the goal here is to study the Bible, but any time you bring in something written by a man, it's naturally prone to error, whether doctrinally or otherwise. And that's where it's up to the teacher to do their part and work around that or explain something to their class. So
my other thing that I wanted to ask about, and this may, Dan, you may have to may look at this when you're organizing teachers and things, but I know my wife specifically has talked about, she in the past was like, oh, well, we don't have, you know, the complaint was that nobody wanted to teach, but I know the teachers that wanted to teach were kind of, anyway, it doesn't matter. It matters, but it's in the past now, so moving forward. I know that there's been some questions asked of me from women about that were teachers about maybe having a scenario where you have one teacher on Sunday morning and a separate teacher on Wednesday night, and they coordinate between the two of them, because like my wife works Monday through Wednesday, so she can't guarantee she's here on Wednesday nights, but she wouldn't have no problem teaching.
Yeah, that's certainly possible. And that's mornings. I think that's one thing that we're all in agreement with. We need to very much have our classes to where it can be more interchangeable and not, you know, it's more like, I mean,
she
like
teaching
one person's
kids,
classroom. So. And,
well, since we're right there, that sheet that Robin gave me is basically, it's a survey like Jim does with the men. What are you willing to do? But what she brought up are things that for the women as well. And I can take that, and if there's something off of it that we need to add to it, adapt it. But I think it might be a good idea for us to canvass everybody in the congregation, say, here's a sheet, put your name at the top and click off what you're willing to do. And we'd have some place to start with all that.
Yeah.
If it's all right with everybody, I can take that and look at it.
Is that okay if everybody else
do some modification? You can.
Sometimes people might be tentative about signing up or something because they don't feel comfortable doing it by themselves. Maybe they can
learn or assist.
Sit in and assist with it. Possibly.
That's the stuff they throw
like at
you. Are you proficient in this? Do you want to learn more?
That's all a part of not volunteer because they felt like it'd be just dropped in their lap.
Being more open and the communication, that's where we want the transparency and be able to help each other. And also being patient with those that aren't as equipped early on to work with them. It's all part of the group. So we're okay with purchasing books if we need to, but we're going to be looking at that. That's going to get some options. And once it gets options, that's when we kind of decide where we want to start, you know, whether Genesis or, you know, Parables of Jesus we did this past year for a while, but we'll figure that out. The other thing I had real quickly, Bible drill down there, and if it's not quick, we can table it. I had a dozen or so PowerPoints that I got from Jimmy Stevens. He's a preacher in Seminole. And this was my idea for the kids, a Bible drill, just questions to the kids about the Bible. Most of them, because our kids are very young, a lot of them will be very simplified. But my idea is for this to be done after Sunday evening service, not something that's a part of the worship. Once we do it a few times, it's not even necessary to announce. The way they did it in Seminole, which I kind of liked, is, you know, the closing prayer was said, you know, amen, and then everybody started visiting just like they normally would, and the kids just went down to the front row with the preacher there, and he asked them, you know, these questions, and had the PowerPoint to go, you know, the questions on the PowerPoint and the TV, to just get the kids involved into, you know, something else to do for their you know, encouragement and enrichment. But that was an idea that I had. I put it in there because it went with the you know, kind of children's classes. Does anybody have a problem with that, or any questions about anything I just said?
It's really a neat thing that they were doing, and it's
very simple,
very beneficial.
Again, completely separate from the worship, and it's something that, yeah, I don't want to, you know, I figured, you know, all the men with kids and even the grandpas, they wanted to, you know, could take turns doing it. We could set that schedule up, whether we take turns week to week or month to month or whatever. But that's something that I have that's ready to go that we can, you know, start in a couple of weeks if we want. Does anybody have a problem with that?
But do it every week, or is it like...
Yeah, but it's only just 5 minutes.
I mean, I thought like six, 7 minutes. You know, try to take a little longer at first if we used to.
Kids really seem to like
and
it.
And they're too different.
I'm going to try it. I mean, you know, whatever.
All right. Any questions about the classes? Okay. And the final thing I've got on there, which is perhaps most important, is...
Josh, before we get that, we can decide when we're going to have business meeting and how often and when. Of course, right now we probably have more, probably usually once a month, but right now we never need to be called.
Right.
But
yeah, I think
by the time we get through this last one, we'll all be so exhausted.
Yeah. I think we need to do one next month and decide maybe then once we get.
And early on, we might need to have a couple more, you know, than a once a month thing. And after we get everything ironed out, we might not need a once a month. It might just need a quarterly or something like that. But I think we definitely need to schedule one.
And you touched on what my question was going to be. How much more pressing things do we need to get taken care of in short order? And if the list is extensive, I'm thinking once every other week until we hammer it out. But only because to me, this has gone on just
a couple weeks.
Yeah. This has gone on for... a little bit now.
I think this is definitely going to be one of our longer ones.
This would help us to keep things shorter, but still get things done.
Right. Well, as far as pressing things, possible finances, depending on how that goes this week, who we're going to have for the meetings, that's something that we need to get figured out pretty quickly, because we want to get those scheduled as far as in advance as we can, because, you know, many of the preachers are booked up. The specifics of the classes, but we'll, you know, so I think that's something for the next one with the curriculum.
Other than the finances, there's nothing we need to do until next month necessarily that I can think of.
No.
Having said that,
because we decided
if we find out about the finances, we've got a problem. We may need to meet next week. I mean, you know, that's a thing, but we just need to find out about that.
I texted Brad already, so I don't.
text me back. I'll try to let whoever knows.
What day of the week, you know?
Well, again, do we want to continue? That's a valid question. Do we want to continue to have these on Sunday evenings after services? Or do we want to have them during the week? I think Sunday evening after services is the best. Because it guarantees the most will be able to be here. We're not all retired like you did.
Yeah, I'm
good.
So can we just say February 10th for the next one?
February 10th for the next one?
Is that the first Sunday in February?
No, it's second.
Is that okay with everybody? Okay. The one thing I do want to bring up at some meeting is personal work class. I think we can do a lot more personal work than we're doing now, so that's something I'd like to address. But that might be a meeting itself. It might be something that can come up in a regular meeting.
I think we need to table what to do with regard to Brad and Jerry until we know something about finances.
Yeah.
I really feel like we need to, something needs to be done, a letter being sent at the very least, but maybe we need to find out whether we're going to have that money and how difficult it's going to get before we
try. You're right. I mean, I don't think we should send anything, provocation. But do you want to talk about what we're going to do? We can talk about what we're going to do, even though we're not going to do it just yet. But
I think what we're going to do depends on, I think what the severity, what we're going to do with the severity and all that, it hinges on how they, not completely hinges on that, but a lot of it hinges on how they conduct themselves regarding the Lord's money and where we go from there.
It's a part of it. So
yeah, let's just table it because we don't.
Well, I saw that bullet on there and I didn't even know we were talking about money. So
well, I mean, no, it's just
we weren't. I'm just saying that it's a.
I'm saying that's a big. I think it's a huge part of it.
I mean, I assume we would send them a letter. I don't know what else we can do.
We had the thing that a bunch of folks signed. Did that get sent?
No, it's not been sent. No, because the intent was not to send it. The initial intent when we described having this statement of congregational action was to share it with Jerry. Because Jerry wasn't there when we dealt with those kinds of situations. But that was somewhat preempted by Jerry and Brad withdrawing from the congregation. So when that was happened, that since a change in circumstances, no decision had. I felt it not best not to, without talking to the men, to send that. And plus, not everybody had an opportunity to sign it. In fact, my mom did just this. I guess past Wednesday night was when she finally signed it. Although I think it's all been done. Everyone who's going to has signed it. So we make that decision as to what we want to do with it. We certainly have it on file, but...
Well, I say wisdom spoke again. Go along with that stand, says.
We just haven't sent it, for sure, but what the men want to do.
Put that off and tell us. No
more. I'm fine with that. Does anybody have a problem with that?
The ladies have been very patient. Maybe we get the other...
And again, guys, that's all stuff that we can discuss... That was one quick point, is we can discuss things and get a dialogue going, via email. Email is probably the easiest way to include everybody, and it's not perfect, obviously, because, I get my email. I mean, I've gotten free emails the time we've been sending here, and I can delete it and respond right here on my phone. Not everybody does that, but we're not going to make decisions over email, so if we can... dialogue can be had outside of this room to facilitate, just to be more efficient, to facilitate things.
Final decision, who chairs next the February 10th meeting? Anybody willing to chair the February 10th meeting? Tommy will. Tommy has volunteered. Anybody opposed to Tommy chairing the February 10th meeting? It doesn't surprise me that nobody is opposed.
On the agenda for February 10th meeting, maybe we got a quarterly position. That might be.
That's something we can consider.
Yeah.
Okay, I've got a lot of notes here for minutes. I'm going to be busy this month.
Oh, I'm glad.
Somebody else is going to be doing minutes for too long.
When did we decide the next meeting?
February 10th.
Why so far out?
Just if something's needed before, we'll call it. Certainly.
We have to have an emergency meeting or something.
Anytime we need that, we certainly should.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you.